Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth, and I can't get enough of that gorgeous song. Shout to the Lord is a song that we play when we have members of the Hastings Ministerial Association rotating in, and we are so happy to have on the phone with us today Pastor Brent Complin of New Life Evangelical Free Church, just north of Hastings. Pastor Brent, how have you been?
Pretty good. It's been a wild season here, so we're doing pretty well here.
Well, I bet it has been a wild season because what you do is so hands-on typically, and unfortunately during this COVID pandemic, we really haven't been able to worship the way we've wanted to.
Yeah, and you know, rightly so. I think we needed to be a part of the community's response, and I'm glad that the churches in our community, I was a part of conversations early on with the pastors in our town and our ministerial association of how do we respond, and we cooperated very well and graciously and participated in what our community needed to do in our state to try and slow the spread of the virus, and that was fantastic. But you're right, the timing or the ability to be able to have face-to-face interactions from a pastoral point of view, to cut that away was an extremely difficult time and a difficult season, and I found myself doing Zoom calls and phone calls and video messages and really missing that face-to-face interaction because it's really hard to care for people virtually and over the phone, and missing that face-to-face time, the real flesh and blood interactions of real relationships really weighed on me and my other colleagues. I know a lot of us are just feeling exhausted from the season of doing ministry in a pretty tumultuous time.
And people really are searching for more, I think, during this time period because they're trying to work through the grief of the loss of what life used to be and different things like that. And then if you throw in, you know, some of the circumstances that people have, like a grave illness or somebody is in the hospital or there's a death, I mean, all of those things are so complicated, and they compound already people's feeling of just, you know, everyone's in tumult, it seems like.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the things I fear is our culture or our communities sometimes struggle to provide the right emotional resources or resources in general just to be able to handle moments of crisis. We're so used to being comfortable. And we often see suffering or pain or difficulty or opposition or a crisis as a sideshow to life. Like this is a distraction and something that I need to get rid of so I can get back on track to my comfortable life. And something I've been talking with our church a lot about is seeing the times of trial and difficulty as opportunities, as actually the actual medium, the ways that God uses to form and shape our character, that your deeper character, the things that really matter about who you are as a person, are actually formed out of difficult times. We talk about refining as a term. You know, if you get rid of the impurities in a precious metal, it requires fire, and fire is hot. I mean, it's not comfortable. And so this last few months has really been an opportunity to talk to people about embracing those times of difficulty as an opportunity for growth and for trusting in God in a real way, like not just saying it, but actually mm-hmm. doing it, because that's what really matters. It's not just words, it's actions.
So what sort of actions have you taken? I know that you recently have started having in-person services again, which I'm sure is wonderful for you. But what are some of the things that you think you're going to continue moving forward?
We've had an increase in folks being really interested in Bible study groups and small groups and connections with one-on-one or smaller groups of people. And I think that comes out of that craving of realizing that we lost for a number of months now, and we're just getting back into it. We lost those face-to-face relationships and interactions, and a lot of loneliness, isolation, really brought about a hunger for community and for closeness of friendship and relationship, and to actually walk through life together side by side. And so as a church, you know, as we're aligning ourselves to be more like Christ and trying to be disciples, we have had people be really interested in diving deep in relationship and in holding each other accountable and actually going after that disciple making. So we had Zoom meetings that were Bible study groups getting started. And then we've carried that momentum into some in-person study groups that meet outside on the patio at our church. And we just put a circle of chairs around outside when the weather's nice. And we found those groups to be so fruitful. So
that sounds glorious, actually, to be outside. Wow.
It's great. It's great. And the weather's changed. And so now we can do that. And we're finding a hunger for those interpersonal relationships again. You know, I've just been thinking about, we've talked about this a little before, but the idea of how much digital technology we've adopted in our lives, that we almost got what we wished for by having our lives be only digital mm-hmm. for a few months. And I just found people craving actual friendship and relationship and brotherhood and sisterhood in the church. And one of the beautiful things that I think people who aren't churchgoers, who aren't believers, people who aren't following God, are realizing is that it's not just a bunch of concepts, that there's a family you can be a part of. And our church really is a family. And we want to welcome people into the family and come alongside and walk with each other through life. And this season of having those relationships cut away really helped us to solidify how important our church family is for each of us as we follow God together.
That's a really cool way of looking at your congregation. And I also like that you are accepting new family members, because a lot of families don't.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, I always tell our folks our Sunday services are like a family. It's like the family dinner or family meal every week. You know, so you can always bring a guest, and they're welcome to sit down at the table with us. And there's Crazy Uncle Joe over there, and there's Grandma and Grandpa over here, and there's the kids at the kid table over there. And everybody's having a great time in fellowship together around the table. And that's like the feel of our services. It's not an organization. We're not following a schedule necessarily. We've got a plan, but we do it more like a family gathering. And that's what I love about our church.
Wow, that really sounds great. What are your worship times, please?
We meet Sundays at 9:30 in the morning, and we're located north of Hastings, just between Hastings and Cottage Grove on Highway 61. Yeah, our weekly services at 9:30 are a wonderful time of fellowship and study of the scriptures, and we really take seriously helping each other grow. We don't want to be stagnant, and so we're a church family. We like to call ourselves a family of missionaries, and you know, we have that family element, but we're also doing the calling that the Lord has on our church to tell other people about Jesus throughout the week. So it's been just great to be with our church family every week.
What are some of the things that you think you're going to be focusing on moving forward?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, coming out of the season with COVID, and obviously it's not over and we don't know what's going to happen in the fall. And then everything that's been going on in Minneapolis and in St. Paul and around the country with the protesting and just everything that's been, the unrest that's been happening and the conversation that needs to happen around prejudice and racism around our culture, we are committing, and I am committing personally, and then I want our church to be a church that has a wise and thoughtful and gracious, what I call a kingdom-minded path forward. I think that so much of what's going on today is fear and anxiety and anger driven, that there's so much division and there's political fighting and there's violence, people shouting. I mean, it's really just not a Christ-like way of interacting, and I'm trying to help guide our church and then me embody this personally. I'm borrowing a term from another pastor of being a non-anxious presence in the community. And I think COVID has created so much fear and anxiety, and also just not knowing what's happening with kind of cultural shifts and changes around us creates a lot of fear and anxiety. The last thing I want is to join, another term I like to use is I don't want to join the outrage machine. I'm afraid that sometimes you can get caught up in how many people around us interact is by just being outraged constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And there are things to be rightfully frustrated with, but then there's division and anger and what I would call sinful anger, and that's just something we can't do. So being wise, thoughtful, measured, and gracious, but finding a path forward that's really kingdom-minded and not just joining the fray of a lot of the division that's going on.
And peaceful.
Yes, and peaceful, and goodness gracious, peaceful for sure. I want our church to be able to say, we are living in, we don't have all the answers in a prideful way, but we're living in a way in God's grace, in his unmerited love and favor, because he's given us the free gift of salvation. And that means that we get to approach issues in our culture and in our day, in our day and age, from a different point of view. We don't have to fight for our own, you know, self-justifying point of view. We don't have to be angry and point fingers at people. We can own up to our own mistakes because we've been forgiven, and then we can offer gracious forgiveness to others who hurt us. And it's just a peaceful and just a good and fruitful way forward. And I'm afraid I'm seeing a lot of just anger and unfruitful, like bad fruit in the way that our world is handling a lot of the crises that are coming our way.
Don't you think if you have peace in your heart and in your soul, that is manifested itself in a joyous, kind lifestyle?
Yeah.
More so than, yeah. I mean, I think we have anger sometimes because we don't have peace in our own soul.
Yes. Yep. I totally agree. And honestly, I think the only answer to that is that you find your identity and your wholeness in being a child of God and giving up trying to earn his favor, and also giving up trying to run down your own path of self, you know, gratification. It's like when you surrender to God, there's freedom in coming under God's fatherly care. And that's the only source of joy that actually is fulfilling or satisfying or actually changes anything in someone's heart. I think we can sometimes try hard to change things that are wrong in us or in our culture by legislating it or by manipulating people to do something or by whatever means that don't actually deal with the inner lack of peace or the inner sinfulness of someone's heart. And I want to dig down deeper and say, let's deal with the deeper heart issues and then let that bear fruit outwardly in every area of your life. And that's the only way to transformation and real peace and joy.
What does surrendering look like to you?
Oh, yeah. I think one of the key things that's hard in the cultural moment we're in is a lot of us struggle with surrendering to authority. Authority is just viewed as such a negative thing right now. and to realize that if God's in control, I want to follow him. I want to do life in his way and not my way. I don't want to be arrogant and think I've got a better answer than God does. So surrendering, just this last Sunday, we were talking about the parable of the prodigal son. I actually like to call the parable the compassionate father and his lost sons.
Mm.
Because both sons, the younger and the older, you have the younger one who rebelled and ran away and mm-hmm. squandered his father's inheritance and then comes back and repents. He's surrendering because he's at the end of himself. But then you have the older son who's prideful and arrogant and says, Dad, you owe me.
Right.
And both of them are lost. And I think that surrender means that we have to recognize that each one of us, in some way, maybe a combination of the two, but we're either a rebel or we're a self-righteous Pharisee, because we either think we're too good for God or that we're good enough for God. And both of those need to be repented of, because if you think you're too good for him and you want to do your own thing, you got to realize that, you know, this is the God who created all, and he's in control of all, and you need to surrender to him. And if you think you're good enough for him because you've got something to offer, that you can earn his favor, I don't want to be in a position of telling God Almighty that he owes me something. That's just not a good place to be. So surrender is realizing that if you're, whether you're running away from him or whether you're self-righteous, both are lost and need to be surrendered back to God.
And how can we do that, Pastor Brent? Can we come to services at New Life Evangelical Free Church and
absolutely.
Hear yeah, more of me. This?
Really, I'd hope anybody who's out there who thinks, you know what, I'm at the end of myself, I'm just tired of running the treadmill of life, and I need to surrender to God, and just call us, call our church, come to our service on Sunday, or look up one of the churches in our community and go in there and tell them that you want to surrender your life to God and ask them what that means. I think for people to realize there's not a special ritual to make that happen. You just need to talk to God directly, because he will hear you, and to say, God, I'm done. I'm done being my own God. I want to make you the Lord of my life, like the master, the Lord, the God of my life now. And I want to surrender, and then find a local church to get plugged into, because you can't do it alone. You need to follow Jesus with a community, with people who can hold you accountable and encourage you and be your church family. And I'll tell you, the most life-giving thing is to be a part of a church family. It's so great. I mean, just it's why I do what I do.
Mm. Let's end there. I love, love, love your message today. Pastor Brent Compline, New mm-hmm. Life Evangelical Free Church is located just north of the Highway 61 and 95 cutoff. If you're going north, it's on mm-hmm. the left-hand side. And worship is at 9:30 a.m. on Sundays. Thank you so much for chatting it up
you're
with
welcome.
Us today. Always so great to get caught up and keep doing what you're doing. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings. Mm-hmm.